with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, children of Israel. Do you see John describing the bride, the Lamb's wife?
I missed that text. I thought you said Revelation 23, but I'm not finding that. Could you tell me that text again? I like to think of it in terms of an earthly bride, what she does to prepare herself for her wedding day. And that's kind of how I think about it.
Revelation chapter 21, and start at verse 9 and read down. And I posted that scripture, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So there's your text there. Go ahead, Desert.
Thank you, brother. Mason, I would like to say, in addition to what Romans has shown you there.
Limey Bob and everyone else in the room, feel free to join the discussion. I know Bob's a talker.
Desert, what do you mean by Israel? Could you be more specific?
Sure, Mason. See, what I mean by Israel is the nation of Israel. The explanation of what happened to Israel in chapters 9, 10, and 11. They stumbled at the gospel that was preached to them. They resisted the Holy Spirit, and they fell. At that point, up to this time, I do believe, however, that whenever the church, the body of Christ, is caught up to meet him in the air, that God will return to his dealings, his prophetic program, if you will, with the nation of Israel.
And thank you there, Desert, and you can continue. I just wanted to quote the scripture. Ephesians 5:30, it tells us there, as it talks about the mystery of Christ concerning the church, it says, For we are members of the church, the body of Christ. We are the body of the bridegroom, so to speak. And one more scripture, as in 1 Corinthians chapter, we are members of his body, and let me find that scripture and post it for you, that we're members in particular. Oh, here it is. Tells us that there should be no chism, but honored all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 25, 26, and 27, and I'll post those. And welcome in, saved Scotchman, grace and peace has been our Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Yes, Mason C., as a matter of fact, he did, and he also promises to...
Let's look very quickly here, and I'll read and then I'll post. kind of backwards, but just to... get into the topic here. I'll go first to Ezekiel, one from the scriptures, and we can look at all of the books of the prophets. But let's go first to, I'll tell you what, let's go first to Jeremiah and get an understanding of what's being said about national Israel here. Jeremiah chapter 3. And let's pick it up here in verse 6. Okay, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Jehoiakim, and has played the harlot. And I said, after she has done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it, and I saw when for all the cause whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away. It came to pass through the light of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and stocks. And yet for all her treacherous, sister Judah has not turned unto me with her whole heart, but frigidly sits toward the north and say, return thy backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful unto you, saith the Lord, and I will not keep my anger forever. Only acknowledge thy iniquities that thou hast transgressed against the Lord, the green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married to the priest in the land, and in those days, saith the Lord, thou shalt say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall you remember it, neither shall you visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord after the indignation of their evil hearts. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together, and out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. Verse 20, surely as a wife treacherously departs from a husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high place, weeping and suffering. Fill your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitudes of mountains. Truly is the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. 36 or 37. Any questions or comments, folks? Oh, go ahead, Sister Desert. And welcome in Lamb and Dove, Debbie Lynn, Grace and Peace, and welcome Holy Ghost on.
Yeah, I just wanted to read a little bit from Isaiah, Isaiah 62, verse 4 and 5. This is talking about after the divorcement was given, and forsaken, neither shall thy land anymore be termed death.
We lost you there, Desert. Come back. Desert, come on back if you can hear us. I think she's probably got popped off. Save Scotchman, you had something to say?
I've got a question, and I'm just asking because I really don't know. Do you believe that we are descendants of one of the tribes of Israel? I've always understood I was from the tribe of Judah. Wouldn't that make me part of Israel?
Are you asking if I'm a descendant? Or we? I can't speak collectively. I don't think I am a descendant of one of the tribes. If so, it hasn't been known to me. But I praise the Lord that in Christ there's no Jew or Gentile. In Christ Jesus, we are one, and I'll show those scriptures. And when Paul refers to Jew, he's speaking of anyone, member of the... It says here, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay? We're all immersed into the body of Christ. Many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay? Let's also look here at Colossians. Colossians, and put on the new man after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond. No difference. We all become one in Christ. The distinction of times past doesn't apply today in this dispensation. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Come on back up, Desert, and finish, and welcome in Buddy's Romance. Grace, And Sage Scotchman, would you like to share that thought about God hadn't lost any of the tribes? He knows exactly who they are. Praise the Lord. Come on up if you would like to share.
Tribalism is just trying to make the United States of America and the descendants of across the North Atlantic, the 10 lost tribes that God is allegedly lost or got lost. And I was being a little cynical there. 10 lost tribes or any of the European nations, the 10 lost tribes, that stuff is Garner Ted Armstrong and all that bunch. And replacement theology, that's part of it, yeah. So I'm part of a new creature, a new man. I'm not part of one of the tribes, out of, and that's Judah. But that's stretching it, and that's like the Baptist briders and, you know, the local church being the bride of Christ and all that stretch. So that's all I meant. You know, God hadn't lost any of the tribes. He knows where they are, and they aren't the United States of America.
And that's the point in those scriptures that I shared. I'll post those up so that we could get a clear understanding who we are in Christ. And that's why he addressed the issue in the book of Ephesians of who we haven't hit the nail right on the head. There's some groups out there that they want to push that. But let's look here in Ephesians chapter 2, and let's read some scriptures. It says here, "Wherefore remember that at the time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strange from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he may reconcile both unto God into one body by the cross, having slain the enmity therefore in spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is of God through the Spirit." So we're all one in Christ Jesus. And both Jew and Gentile become one in Christ. So the distinction is that we identify ourselves as being members of the body of Christ. Any questions or comments?
I have a comment. Someone spoke earlier about what tribe you was from and everything, and for the life of me, I can't figure that out, why one would waste time worrying about words that was written or left here for us in the book. It's for us all. It's for all of us. You know, we are all, every living human being is descendants of Adam and Eve. And to me, it doesn't matter what tribe you came from. You know, what Christ says is that they should die. And man has been dying ever since. You know, it doesn't matter which tribe you're from or whoever, you're still dying today. And that's still going on. So, you know, for me, I want to try to get my heed his word.
Well, you know, the issue there, we are descendants of Adam and Eve, made in the image of Adam, according to the book of Genesis. Adam was made in the image, and of course, through the line of Seth, and then through the line of Noah, we have our lineage, and as the scriptures say, that all the inhabitants of the earth are of one blood, so the issue's there. As we shared there in Christ, there is no more middle wall of partition, that we become one in Christ. The issue there of the grafting in is in Romans chapter 5, grafted into God, which is the root, and we can see these scriptures. Let's look at it very clearly and let's get a clear understanding. Let's start here at Romans chapter 11, and we're going to start here at verse 7. "What then? Give them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their tables be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a reprehense unto them. that their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow their backs away. Always they provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my dead. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so also are the branches. And so if some of the branches be broken off, and thou art being a wild olive tree, with grass in among them, and were put to study, thou would say then, the branches were broken off, that I might graft in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. And we all come together as one in Christ, as we just looked at those scriptures there, that in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3 again, Galatians chapter 3, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither seed and heirs according to the promise. Back to Colossians again, and Colossians chapter 3, and verses 10 and 11, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Christ is all and in all. That's very clear. And one more scripture there, Mason, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink.
No, I understand that we're all one body, we're all baptized into one body, but I always thought the olive tree represented Israel, and that when you graft one tree into another, that does become one tree. It's different than its original state, but it is one tree. And I guess I'm still a little confused on that issue. Maybe it doesn't make any difference but to some people, but to me, every little word in the Bible is a big thing. It all means something to me. Go ahead, Rump.
Well, you know, they have been described in the Old Testament as the olive tree, but we need to understand very clearly there in Romans chapter 11, Israel were caught up into, they were blinded as we read those scriptures. Okay? It says very clearly again. Now let's understand. Verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained that which it seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let your tables be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a reprehense unto them, that their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow their backs away. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminish of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. For if by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So, very clearly, and we go down, as I read earlier, those scriptures. They were branches, and they were broken off from the olive tree because of unbelief. That's Israel. We were grafted in, and the olive tree there, as it shows, if the root be holy, verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. We've made holy through Christ Jesus. We've made holy through God, which is the tree, okay? We are branches that were grafted in to God, through the household of God. We just read there in Ephesians chapter 2, showing us very clearly that we become one in Christ, and we're built on the foundation of the apostles. So that's the issue that we very clearly need to look at. Now, we're not grafted in as Gentiles into unbelieving Israel. Not at all. And that's why we share that. Go ahead, Save Scotchman. You're up next. And welcome in, Brother Love and Graf 561. Grace and peace is in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Okay. In Acts chapter 2, the whole chapter is addressed Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's verse 5. Verse 14, you men of Judah. Verse 22, you men of Israel. And verse 29, men and brethren. So this thing is not aimed at the Gentile. It's not aimed at anybody that says, in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? It didn't say, what shall we do to get saved? In light of the fact that they crucified their Messiah, what shall they do? Peter told them, Israel, that group of people there that represented Israel, repent and be baptized, promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that's not talking about the Gentiles. That's other Israelites that God's going to call. Now, did they get the Holy Ghost when they got baptized there? Absolutely not. They had to get... It says that... Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Then Simon himself also believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they were baptized. And I just got something happened, and I got my mic knocked off by a pal talk, wouldn't you know? Okay, now listen. The point is this. Acts chapter 2 has nothing to do with you and me. There's more in the book of the Acts than Acts chapter 2. When Paul was called and given the commission he was given, Gentile, and that Philippian jailer asked him a question. He didn't say, what shall we do, and leave it at that. He asked a direct question, what must I do to be saved? That's an individual question. Verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Presuming that if they believe, they'll be saved too. They'll be saved if they believe. If they don't, they won't. Now that's what I believe the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe on the God to come on your baptism to get saved, I'm afraid you're going to be wet and burning all at the same time, because baptism doesn't save you, my friend. The Lord Jesus...
I guess we got a few things going in text now. That's pretty good. We got some discussion going. Let's look here and let's see what's going on there in the early book of Acts and identify very clearly who's being spoken to, who's being addressed. And let's look first here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. As Peter and the 12 were truly there, and they're inquiring about the kingdom, okay? When they therefore was come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, would thou at this time restore the times of the season which the Father has put in his own power? Very clearly they're inquiring about the kingdom. He told them, he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost nation of Israel. Let's pick it up here in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, and ye yourselves also know him being delivered by the devil, was he making an indictment to Israel that they needed to repent of who Christ was. Let's pick it up here in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, and ye brethren, what shall we do? Okay, let's move on here to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. Peter's preaching again. He says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye have delivered a just and desire a murderer to be granted unto you. and kill the Prince of Light, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Wow. So what does Peter tell them in verse 19? He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Okay, Acts chapter 4, same thing. Verse 10, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, oh, wow. So he's preaching very clearly, and he's preaching to those that to Israel, that they had put the Lord of glory to the cross. His information, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. This is verse 51. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have not kept it. Those are the issues there. Peter is preaching there to the nation of Israel, and Stephen, by his witness, as he received the witness of the Holy Ghost, and they took him and stoned Stephen. Okay? And we see very clearly in Acts chapter 9, they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Wow. So then we see the conversion of the apostle Paul, and Paul given the instruction of where he should go. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, a vessel chosen for this present dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God. That's why Paul preaching there in Acts chapter 13, Paul tells him very clearly, he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is by the law of Moses. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Praise the Lord for his plan of salvation. Okay, welcome in everyone. A man with no voice, Spiller and Janet. Grace and peace is in our Savior Jesus Christ. Buddy.
And I believe that. But I do not believe that God has one thing for one people and he has another thing for another people. I don't believe that. Also, these people that was talking about Acts, he also said unto Peter, he said, that and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So I put that forth there, and I also put forth to the people where or whoever was saying that Nicodemus, he was saying accepting man. He didn't say an Israelite, and he didn't say a Jew. Accepting man be born again of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's what the Bible saying, so don't get angry with men and brethren. What shall we do? It didn't say Israelites. It said men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You wanted to know what they were being given, so it's given unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You know, I want him to call me. I don't know about you, but to say even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now back to, unto what baptism were you baptized? And they said that they hadn't even, they were baptized unto Moses' baptism, and then Paul himself told them that believe on him that should come after him, and then he said that is on Christ Jesus, and the Bible tells you right there that they were in that day they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You keep saying these things. But I'm quote.
Well, Buddy Romance, let's take some of the issues there. You were putting out a bunch, but let's clarify this. Now, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, now let's go, which you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay, let's stick with the Bible. You misquoted there. okay? And then we'll think it's Acts chapter 10, okay? And or the issue there with Peter, with Paul, when some of the disciples of John had came and spoke to him, and he asked, clearly those people would not have been living at that time, okay? Let's look at that scripture and see what Paul did. Paul, they had not received the Holy Ghost. These were people that were baptized under John's baptism. So you need to very much do in the point of Acts. And let me find the scripture so we can be very clear. They had said they were baptized under John's baptism. So let's not confuse the other issue of the born again. And like I say, let's go with the Word of God and let's understand that Christ speaking there to them, to Nicodemus, and he told him in John chapter 3 very clearly that he should have, Christ posed the question and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus should have known according to the book of Ezekiel. Now let's go to Ezekiel. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's understand.
Well, last night I was in my room with my girlfriend, and I cured her, and she screamed, and she screamed, and I had sex with her in the eyes.
King's Fender Man, you need to raise your hand, and Desert, go ahead, and let's look at some of these issues in Scripture, and so we can clarify what's taking place here. Let's go to Ezekiel, as born again, okay? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 22, Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my great name, which was profaned amongst the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, whom I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you, pour upon you, and ye shall be cleansed from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I have given your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all the uncleanliness, and I will call you from the corn, and I will increase it and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply. Okay, now that's very clear, buddy, Romance. All these words are not mine. These are from the Scriptures. Okay, now, if you have an issue, it's with the Scriptures and its context.
Romans, I agree with one thing you said. I had done to Moses. I did misspeak at the time. I apologize, and I apologize to this room for saying that, but that wasn't what I had meant to say. But I'll go back to this first one where you said, and we'll know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all, they said, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God also spoke with Peter, and he said unto him, after he asked them, he said, who do man say that I the Son of Man am? And they went on and on and on, and he got to Peter. And Peter said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I know everyone in here know what that means. That I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It did not, he didn't say Jews. He said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So, whether I'm Jew or not, if I meet God with Peter's word, he told him, what else man there? And I can tell him, well, God, this is what you said. You didn't say Jews. You didn't say whites. You didn't say blacks. You didn't say Puerto Ricans. You say, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Well, you know, you can very much so say this, but you need to read on progressively to understand that Peter was not addressing you. You weren't being addressed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's look at the issue here, and let's show this very clearly with scriptures, and let's see who Peter was sent to there in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Psalm 24, let's let the scriptures be true. Matthew chapter 15 and 24, but he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, is he sending out the apostles at that point? Do ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? Very clear when we look at the context of Scripture. Romans chapter 15 and verse 8. Romans chapter 15 and verse 8, it tells us, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. He confirmed the promises made unto the fathers. The very reason why Peter had to receive the vision three times concerning going to the Gentiles and Cornelius. So let's understand what really happened as Peter was still acting on the law in Acts chapter 10. Let's go here also to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and understand as they were sent out that counterwise when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Paul is speaking. For he that walked effectively in Peter through the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles, and with the fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Okay? And they, with that we should remember the poor, the same was forwarded to do. Now, let's look here. Verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the crew and separated himself, fearing them which was of the circumcision, and other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with the dislocation. But when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, as do the Jews. It's very clear.
Well, maybe it's clear to you, but it's not clear to me. What you just read was that those same ones that got the right hand of fellowship, they went up to the apostles, whom walked and talked and ate and drank with God. Even Paul did. Paul went up. He went up 14 years later, and
we're not gonna debate it. If you want to teach something contrary to the scriptures, Paul in Galatians chapter 1, Paul in Galatians, for do I persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation church God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him amongst the heathen, the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia, and I turned again unto Damascus. Paul received direct revelation from our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That's why he shares there in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "For this cause I call the prisoner Jesus unto me the mystery as I wrote afore, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ." This was a revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul for this present dispensation. And we're not here to argue. If you want to go back and forth, Paul was commissioned there through the Holy Spirit that he would go into the heathen, and Peter and the 12 would continue with the circumcision. I don't know how much more clear it can be. Only thing I can say is perhaps you might need to study those scriptures and read Galatians chapter 2 fully.
Romans, I see that you are a learned man, and I respect that. The only thing I just have to say to you, and I'm going to leave this alone after this, is that the Bible also say that add thou not to his word. Don't go any further. I insult you. And I...
Well, buddy, I read scriptures the whole time I've been dealing with you on this issue. I'm not adding. Well, folks, what more can one do but share the scriptures? Not my words, but the context of the scriptures for a full understanding of God's word. Okay, anything else out there? And Sister Desert, can you take over moderation for a bit?
Yes, Brother, I sure can. Spectre Flex, I'm sorry, but Romans is away from the keyboard at the moment.
Spectre Flex, what does the Bible say about Christ? That's what the issue is. It's not what a person thinks. It's what the Bible says. Is about Christ's deity. I do not at all deny the deity of Christ. So, what do you say there? I'll be AFK for a while there, Desert.
Okay, Don. Dr. Flex, if I may address your question. Whenever the scripture refers to Jesus in the book of Isaiah as the everlasting Father, it is in reference to Israel, the Son. You're very welcome, Spectreflex. Thank you for the question. Spectreflex, there is no verse, as you well know, that says that Jesus is God the Son. However, if you go back through the Old Testament and read the different names given to God, Yahweh, in the Old Testament, you will then see Jesus Christ referred to as the same in the New Testament. All through the Old Testament, when in fact it was Christ Jesus. Yes, go ahead, Lonnie Bob.
Thanks. I was wondering if the forum moderators would allow me to ask a few questions. I used to believe, as Spectreflex seems to have believed, I used to be a oneness Pentecostal, but the Lord saved me out of this group and showed me the truth of the Trinity, the fact that without a belief in the Trinity, a person, in fact, wasn't even believing in the real gospel, the real Christ. So, if it's okay with you, and if Spectreflex is happy, could I ask a few questions of Spectreflex, please?
You certainly may, sir. Go right ahead.
Spectreflex, would you be happy to answer a few questions, please? Okay, well, I'd prefer to do this on the mic rather than you typing in text. Spectreflex, could you please tell me, is the Son of God created or eternal? Yeah, Spectreflex, you're asking, I asked you a question, and now you're asking me a question back. Now, that's not really plain talking, is it? If I ask you a question, could you answer it? I'll ask you my question again. Is the Son of God an eternal Son? Does the Son of God eternally exist? Or is the Son of God created? Would you mind coming to the mic, Spectreflex, and really answering on the mic, please, who the Son of God is? Do you have a microphone, Spectreflex? By the way, forum host, do you want me to put my hand up before I speak, or do I just press the button to speak? I don't want to ignore your forum rules. No mic. Okay. So you've used John 6:57 to say that Jesus was created. If you believe Jesus is created, then what you're saying is that the Son, Jesus, is not God. Because Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of the Bible, is eternal, and not only is Jehovah, Yahweh, God, eternal, but he's uncreated. You see, you can't be both eternal and created. Let me prove this. Psalm 90, verse 2. I'm reading from the New King James, but where it says Lord in capitals, that's the Tetragrammaton. I'll read Yahweh instead, okay? Yahweh, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So it says here that God, or Yahweh, Jehovah, is eternal, and he is from everlasting to everlasting. Now that's called a divine attribute. What that means is that it's something that God has. It's something in God's nature. He is eternal, and he is unchanging. Let me prove this a little bit further. Isaiah 44:24. Thus says the Lord, I'll read Yahweh instead. Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am Yahweh who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. So Yahweh is eternal. In Isaiah 44:24, Yahweh is the Creator. And if we went to Malachi 3:6, we'd read, For I am the Lord, I change not. Yahweh is unchangeable. Now, if you're saying that Jesus was created, and I'm reading what you've written in text, Spectraflex, I say he was created. What you're therefore saying is that Jesus is not God. Because if Jesus is created, and Yahweh is uncreated, then logically Jesus was not God.
Thank you, Lamy Bob, and to address your question to me as to whether or not you need to raise your hand, raise your hand before speaking, and if you would do so, I would thank you for that. Go ahead, Bob.
Thanks again. Perhaps the seeker could please explain what he or she means when he says, Jesus was created, brackets the flesh, manifestation of the Logos Eternal. What is the Logos, Seeker? Could you please tell me who the Logos is? And I'm going to turn to John 6:57 and read that. Thank you.
Spectre Flex, if you would be so kind as to allow me just a moment, we would like to keep this discussion on a civil, mature note. I don't want to see anybody goading anybody else into an argument. If you would be so kind for all of us to respect those rules, I would thank you all. Yes, Dr. Flex, I do realize that. I just wanted to remind the room. Thank you. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, well, here's the verse that Spectra Flex has quoted. It's John 6:57. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Quote, As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds me, John 6:57, because I don't see any evidence in this verse that Jesus is not God, that Jesus is not Yahweh, the eternal one God of the Bible. But if I've misunderstood you, Spectraflex, perhaps you could correct me on that, please. And Seeker, would again be grateful, perhaps you could come to the mic, Seeker, and tell me what you mean by Logos. You've written in text, quote, The Logos is that which emanated from God as he spake. It is the spoken word. I don't quite understand that. God doesn't have words. God is a spirit. And you have to be a physical being with a physical mouth and a tongue and teeth. And you move your mouth and your teeth back and forwards. And you produce sounds through a larynx. And then these sounds, called words, travel through the air in sound waves. But God is outside of our dimensions. He's outside of this universe. So, yes, the Bible talks about the Word of God, and yes, I believe that. But God doesn't have physical words. God is a spirit, John 4:24. Okay? The Bible often uses what's called anthropomorphic terms. It talks about the right hand of God. In Psalm 92, I think it's Psalm 92, or Psalm 91, it talks about God having feathers and hiding us under his wings. That doesn't mean that God is some sort of chicken with feathers and wings, you see. It's just using terms that we can understand, God's wings, his feathers, to imply his protection. And God's right hand, or the right hand of God, means position of power and authority, you see. So we have to be careful when we interpret the Bible, but we interpret it according to the ways that the apostles wrote the scriptures. Thanks.
Bob, I have one request to assist. If in the course of this discussion, if you would please use the authorized version of the King James Bible, it would be... Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, thank you. Well, Spectraflex has written, and it's difficult to have a discussion with somebody who doesn't have a mic, but I'm doing my best. I'm sure Spectraflex is doing his or her best as well, so thank you, Spectraflex. He or she has written, Limey, John 6:57, if it wasn't for Jesus, would the disciples have life? Let me read that verse again, John 6:57. I think it's always best to start with the scriptures, then we know what we're talking about. Quote, this is from the King James Version now. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Well, once again, I have to state that I see nothing in this verse that says that the Son is created, as Spectraflex said. Teaching a created Son means that the Son is not God. Of course, the humanity of the Son, the physical body, was created, but the Son existed eternally with the Father because he's God. John 1:1 clearly says, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can use lexicons, and I can read a few hundred Greek words. Doesn't make me a Greek expert, of course, but there's several words for life or live in the Greek. One of these is bios, which means physical life. We get our word biology from that, bios, physical life. Okay, bios means physical life, and logos means the word, so biology comes from bios and logos. However, the word for live here in John 6:57 is not bios, it's zoe. And zoe doesn't mean physical life, it means spiritual life. So when it says that the Father feeds the Son and gives him this life, and then the Son gives this life to his apostles, it's not talking about physical life. It's not saying the Son is created and he has this physical life that's given to him by the Father. It's zoe. It's talking about spiritual life. It's saying that the spiritual life that the Son has originates with the Father, and then he gives it on to us. That would be my explanation of that verse.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, well, Spectraflex has said, quote, so the Father gives the Son spiritual eternal life. Okay, I can see the point you're making. Let me put it like this, Spectraflex. Spiritual renewal, salvation, anything that we receive from God, spiritual life from God, is by nature eternal because God is eternal. God's gifts, you see, tend to reflect who God is himself. So if God were to give the Son spiritual life, and Trinitarian theology teaches this, it teaches that the Father is the source of all things, then that life is going to reflect the Father's nature. So any spiritual life from the Father has to be eternal, because the Father is himself eternal, and that spiritual life will reflect the nature of the Father. I think we have a fundamental problem here. There's lots of people that you meet on Pal Talk who start with their opinions, their theories. They'll say to you in a room, how can the Trinity be true? You know, how can God be three persons? How can this be true? And they'll argue against the Trinity, but they start from their own presuppositions. Now, I think that's wrong. I think where we should start from should be the Bible. Our faith should be based upon the Bible. Basically, in Christianity, there's different ways of starting your Christian walk. There are some people known as Catholics, Roman Catholics, or Anglo-Catholics, who'd say, look, if you want to know what God's will is for you, you start with the church. God formed this church. And they would argue about what that church is. But the Catholic or Anglo-Catholic view would be that God's formed a church, and he's given a sort of apostolic succession in that church. And if you want to know God's will for your life, the Bible's great, the Bible's wonderful, but the church is the source of that life. And this is the position held by Roman Catholics, by Anglicans, and interestingly enough, obviously they don't accept the Pope or the Archbishop of Canterbury, be it the Watchtower Organization or the Mormon Church in Utah, USA, would be how God guides people today. So that's the first position. The second position, which is my position, is that when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he inspired his apostles to finish the canon of the scripture. And the New Testament, the Old Testament, was written by apostles and prophets, men and women who were inspired by God. And if you want to know God's will for your life, then it's the Bible that guides you. The Bible is God's word from cover to cover. And you don't go to the church, to the Pope, or to the Book of Mormon, or the Mormon Church, or the Jehovah's Witnesses. You go to the Bible. That's the answer. So the second view would be the biblical view, the Bible, basis of authority. The third position for authority would be the modernist view. And they'd say that this starts from human reasoning. If you want to know what's truth for your life, you have to start thinking about things and using your human intellect. And, you know, if you think about things hard enough, you can see, well, you know, how could God create the world in 7 days? There has to be creation, there has to be evolution, and, you know, how could God do it in 7 days? And so, what you do is you start from human reasoning, you ask questions, and then what you do from that is you therefore work out for yourself what's true and what's not true. And lots of people follow this position in Pow Talk. Today, in the Christian churches, you find the liberals take this position. They start with human reasoning. They turn to the scientists and the views about evolution. They look to the philosophers of this human understanding. It's called modernism. The fourth and last view would be the view taken by many people who would be of a extreme Pentecostal and charismatic position. And they really believe that the human emotions, the human heart, would be how God would guide us. So all of these other views would be very interesting. They'd say that the Holy Spirit guides them through their heart. I'm just trying to give you a sort of overview as to how we can approach the Bible.
Thank you, Bob. Those were all very interesting assertions and ideas. And I am sorry that your chat partner decided to leave before the conversation was over. If anybody else has any comments or questions, please do come to the mic. Bob, if I may, you said in... Well, it seems Bob has left us as well, so I guess I won't have to go into that. is there anything anybody would like to talk about or discuss? It's a wonderful day here in Oklahoma. We had a wonderful thunderstorm last night, and so the day is really rather cool. I'm able to keep the air conditioning off, and for that I am very grateful. I hate air conditioning. Welcome back to the room, Don. Take it, Bubba.
Wow, I was listening there for a while. I had to do breakfast, and I wanted to get in a couple of questions to both of them, but I guess they go ahead and go there. Bob, Limey Bob is always on that, he's always addressing those issues concerning the it is a good day, and I'm going to have to get out in a little bit myself and just kill some time here for a minute. But praise the Lord. Anybody else got anything else they would like to discuss or talk about? Welcome, Deshaun. Grace and peace is in our Savior. David Lynn.
Well, to be honest, Roman, some of the things he was talking about, you know, some of those other views that he was talking about, I have no... No, I did notice that, like in with many other different groups, that instead of addressing the issue that is raised to them, they want to jump to another issue. Whenever one thing is pointed out to them, they'll go, okay, well, what about this? The major hurdle.
Oh, yeah, of course. I look at it the same sense, and I see the same thing. I was listening. I couldn't get over here. I was trying to tear my way from the table, but a meal. I mean, I can see you grabbing a snack, maybe, but no, I couldn't break in at that time, and I was going, grr, wait a minute. Let's address one of these things. Let's address one of these things in its proper context, but I knew the room was in good hands. I knew some JWs coming to the room, so I knew it was going to start because Limey Bob and the JWs have been going at it for years. And praise the Lord, we can get back on something that... here's Bob coming back. Hey, Bob.
Bob decide whether he wants to heal or not. Perhaps he's having difficulty with this new PAL talk.
Yeah, I think it's that, because I upgraded the latest version, said the message, and the last time I logged off, it said, do you want to upgrade to the latest? And I'm like...
Yes, the gentleman just typed. He said that he did not have a mic, which I don't know whether he did or not. But like I said, he never did answer the question that Bob posed to him. He went right to another question right after Bob addressed the first one.
That's what would be it.
I know there are many times when questions are put forth in the text that I just have to ignore because I know where they're going to go with that.
Amen. That's what it's all about, and I'm your final authority. And, when someone's looking for a circular answer and you give them a biblical answer, then they still want to ask another question, and that shows a lack of discernment on their part sometimes. Or if y'all got something else going, and I'll sit back and listen for a while.
Well, no, at this time I don't think we have anything going on. I was just looking over that word live there in question, and that the Strong's Concordance is correct. I know that's a big assumption. But it seems here that it covers both the living flesh and also the immortal, depending upon how it's used. So I thought...
Yeah, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Bread, and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Amen. Wow.
Right, and I don't see where the other gentleman, Spectraflex, I believe his name was, I said it in verse 57, and I live by the Father, that Christ was a created being. It seems to me that what Christ was saying there, as notice the as there, as the living Father has sent me, and as the living Father has sent me. Well, how did he send him? Christ had to have already been in order for the Father to send him in the form of flesh. And then he says, and I live by the Father. So as the living Father has sent him, the same one without the other, I mean, they are God. They are in a triunity, as it were. How they can't see that, I don't get.
Let me try to get the full context. And here I'm picking it up in verse 44. And welcome back, brother. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any of the next verses. Okay, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat mammoth in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat of thereof and not die. Wow. I am the living bread which came down from heaven for the life of the world. Praise the Lord.
I'm sorry, Romans. I'm not used to speaking on the mic. I'm used to typing my thoughts in. And I do find it interesting that Jesus remarked earlier on that he is of the Father, for one, and for another, he states that he came down from heaven where he had to have been. Like I said, I don't see where they... I don't understand why they want the Christ to be a mere mortal man and not God in the flesh. To me, from a careful study of the Scriptures, it seems, Lord, as in Yahweh from the Old Testament, he said that the Old Testament Scriptures spoke of him. Who else then could he mean? He said that in John 1:1 and John 1:14, as you know, that the Word was with God, deity, and then those on the other side who want to say that that Jesus is the Godhead, all Roman speaks as him being the Godhead bodily, but that doesn't mean that he is the Father and the Spirit and the Son all at the same time, right? Well, since Roman seems to have fallen out of the room, perhaps Don Cote would come up here and explain it to me. Welcome back, Don.
Yeah, I just got hammered there, but it's okay. Take a licking and keep on ticking. Let me see if I can post that one scripture that we were just talking about. Hold on. Here it goes. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye come up to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all of all which he has given me, I should lose none, but should raise. He wasn't created. So many people, the JWs, they only limit God. They limit God to the virgin birth of Christ, and they don't have any understanding of Jesus but in the flesh. We need to understand that we don't understand the deity of Christ. And praise the Lord that he came down from heaven. He was there from the beginning. He was there before the creation, that he created all things, as Colossians tells us all.
Well, amen, and I agree with you there. While you were being hammered, Don, I was asking, why do you think it is they want to believe that Jesus is not deity?
Well, it's in that belief system, because they want to make him just a person in the flesh, and they don't want to worship him. They don't want to believe that he received worship, and many times in the scriptures, just in the four gospel accounts there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that Christ received worship. And they don't want to acknowledge his deity, and it's a system that they've been taught in and brainwashed, and it goes against their theology that Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again. They want to cling on so much as calling them there in Christ's earthly ministry, and then to recognize him as he arose to the Father, to understand his power and his glory as the man Christ humbled himself and came to us in the earth and was raised in glory. And I don't know, I've had numerous discussions with them, and they want to acknowledge some scriptures but not the others when it comes to the deity of Christ. But anyway, Brother Cote, if you can, if you're on and listening, if you find anyone that I don't think I'll be in the fellowship. I have to run off here this morning, so I'm going to get ready to head out in a little bit.
Don, I don't know if you saw the screen or not, but I need to be away from the keyboard for just a bit.
Okay, no problem. I'm going to be about... I don't know, about a few more minutes, and then I'm going to have to go, so I'll wait until you come back, and then if you want to stay open, go ahead. If not, we can shut down. And, well, Val Pro just left. Everybody else is all quiet. No, Limey Bob is a Calvinist. That the other gentleman, I think, was a JW there, Debbie Lance. I would describe Limey Bob as a... Oh, great, Desert, because I'm going to have to go. So all you have to do is go to the admin console there and type in the closed room there in the thing and pull it up, and you can shut the room down.
Debbie Lynn was saying, I'm going to shut in Limey Bob, yes, was once a Pentecostal oneness believer. That's what I understood him to say, if I'm not mistaken. However, to clarify, not all Pentecostals. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you all don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and close the room. I have some housework, and so I'm going to be away from the keyboard. So thank you all for having come into the room and listening to us for a little while and for sharing your comments and questions. I'm going to close the room now, and as Brother Leo likes to say, if you feel a little...